Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I am chatting with Craig Hemke, founder and editor of tfmetalsreport.com. Now Craig, yeah, let's continue to talk about the precious metals and the correction that we are going through, but I really want to focus on the relationship here between precious metals and yields, because quite frankly, I have a daily chart pulled up here. You go back to the peak in gold that happened in August, on August 7th, and the bottom in the 10-year yield that happened August 6th, and both have reversed since that time. Yields have more than doubled, especially on the 10-year basis, and gold has given up a few hundred dollars, actually. And we don't know exactly where that bottom is going to be. Right where gold is trading right now, it is pretty important for gold to hold around that 1760 level. So far, it's doing that, but let's see how the end of the week fares here ending tomorrow. Craig, break down the relationship that we are seeing over the last about six months between rates and the precious metals, especially gold.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Corey. And yes, tomorrow brings the U.S. jobs report, 8:30 Eastern. So, you know, there's going to be some volatility. We're not through with this week yet. But yes, you're right. No doubt about it. The dollar index is rallying today as it's gotten back above 91. And we'll see if it closes above 91 tomorrow. It looks like it's headed to 92. But the dollar index now at 91.5 or so is about where it bottomed out in early August. And again, gold was, $300 higher. So it's not that. It's not the dollar that's doing this. It is this move in treasury yields. Now, it has not been the very short term, the two-year treasury note is still down here at 11 or 12 basis points, where it's been, you know, those levels it was in July and August. It's a 10-year treasury note, the international benchmark. I mean, that thing is the foundation of almost every institutional, even central bank portfolio. And so that yield got down in late July, early August, very near 50 basis points, but, you know, it was mainly banging around 55, you know, 0.55%. Now, here we are today, it's at 1.15%. So that thing's more than doubled. And when things really got away from us back in early January, remember, we started the year great and we were cooking and we were looking to break out up around 1950 and 1960. Well, that's when the 10-year note was still yielding about 90 basis points. When things got sideways was beginning on January the 6th, it burst up through one. That led to some liquidations in COMEC gold. And then it, again, continued on all the way up to 115, 118 within a couple of days. And that's when the bottom fell out of gold back in early January. Then bond futures got oversold. They rallied back and the yield on the 10-year note fell back to 1%, right at 1.00%, about 8 trading days ago. And again, that's when gold was doing pretty well. But now here we've reversed and we're back up to 115. It's that notional rate that's killing us. Gold's long-term correlation, as you know, is more with real rates, inflation-adjusted rates. And they're just only up slightly from where they were in August. So what we need, and what my forecasts are based off of for this year, is the Fed to come in and say, you know what, we're not comfortable with these rates going up much higher than this and putting on either a de facto or an actual formalized plan of yield curve control. But they haven't done that yet, and so that continues to hold gold back.
Well, and this is the argument that I keep hearing from kind of that gold bug echo chambers, that they're saying there's so much debt in the world and that debt keeps on increasing that there's no way rates can go up. And the Fed continues to tell us that they are not going to be raising rates. But the market is telling us a different story in terms of the long end. And that is the end that, let's say, the Fed doesn't have as much control over. But we still haven't heard anything from the Fed. And who knows if we are going to hear anything from the Fed, because you do have to balance out that even as rates are rising, we are seeing the markets continue to perform well. So how long could this go on for? How big of a risk is it that even though, yes, there's a lot of debt in the world and the gold bug chamber continues to say, look at how bullish we should be long term, the near term, this correction has gone on for already quite a long time, almost 7 to 8 months now.
Yeah. Well, and again, back in my annual forecast I put out about a month ago, you know, I still think we have a solid year, kind of a regular bull market year, but it may play out different than the last couple of years, and that last 2 years we've had most of the gains between January and August and then pullback and consolidation into the end of the year. This year, we may continue this pullback and consolidation and then see most of the gains, you know, in the last 6 to 8 months. You remember we talked about this, I think, Corey, 2 weeks ago ahead of the January Fed meeting. And that was, would we get any hint from the Fed that they're getting uncomfortable with the, you know, where the 10-year yield and beyond is getting and, you know, the levels it's getting to. And they gave us no inclination, you know, nothing about that at all. And that's all part of why rates have gone back up from 1% to 1.15. Let's see where we are in March. Now, again, that this next Fed meeting is still a good 5 weeks away. So a long time between now and then. But maybe we'll start to get some of that job owning, some of this, you know, a few participants were interested in extending the maturities being purchased within the existing large-scale asset purchase program, you know, something like that. Because that's how the Fed would attempt to begin with to jawbone long rates back down if they were getting uncomfortable with them. But, you know, a lot of the Fed borrow, you know, the where the government is borrowing and the Fed is monetizing debt is way down at the short end, you know, with T-bills, which are less than 1 year maturity, and 2 year notes and out to 5 years. And those rates, like I said, are remaining very low. And so it'll be interesting to see what they do if the 10-year note goes to 1.25 and 1.5. If we do go to 1.25, 1.5, gold prices aren't going to be doing much while that happens. That's for sure. I mean, it'll be interesting to see, you know, how we finish the week, but this trend of rising nominal yields is what is having the greatest impact in terms of restraining price.
So, Craig, do we also need some sort of weakness in the U.S. equity markets, too? Because in all fairness, that is another factor we need to consider, that investors, especially these shorter term traders and generalists, quite frankly, they play uptrends and the markets are in uptrends.
Yeah. Corey, I've done so many interviews in this last week. I can't remember if you and I talked about this last week or not. I think we did. Didn't you ask me if you thought the stock market, if I thought the stock market would go down or could go down?
I asked you your thought on that whole narrative that a crash was due, but now comparing that to gold, do we need a crash to bring some attention into the precious metals?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. And my answer to your question last week was to recall the last two times that the equity market rolled over and began to crash down, you know, whether March of this year or December of 2018. Once it started to really, you know, accelerate to the downside, the Fed stepped in and they reversed course from tightening and drawing down the balance sheet back in December of 2018. And they rolled out QE to infinity and, you know, and all these acronym new programs in March and rallied the market off of that. Well, we're up 60% or something since March in the S&P. So, yeah, you're right. Maybe if you get a sharp pullback in the equity market, you know, of 10% or something like that, maybe there'd be enough panic to have the Fed come out and say, oh, no, because we're going to now do this, that, and the other thing. And in a way of pumping the stock market back up, because they just cannot allow it to go down. I mean, they are fighting deflation, disinflation, whatever you want to call it, as hard as they can. And a stock market collapse of 30 or 40% would just overwhelm them, even though they're the Fed. And so they're going to continue like they did in December of 18 and March of last year. They're going to continue to do everything they can to keep the stock market afloat. And so, yeah, maybe that would help. But in the meantime, again, I think there's, it's just like anything with the precious metals, Corey, it always requires patience. I mean, we're still at, so we've pulled back. We pulled back to levels, you know, we were at back in July of last year. But the government has continued to spend trillions and trillions. The conversation is going to shift soon in Congress to this Biden stimulus plan and all that kind of stuff. The fundamental picture for owning precious metal obviously remains sound. It's just that you get these trends, these cross currents in the meantime that we've got to kind of shake ourselves out of.
Yeah, it's just been a long correction, and I understand why people start to lose faith in the overall sector. But Craig, in terms of like your outlook for this whole year, I understand you are still bullish, but fact of the matter is we're even seeing the stock sell off now. Silver is arguably holding up a bit better than gold. The gold chart's a little bit worse than silver. What do you think? The tail end of this year, do you think that's when we start to move higher, maybe even get back into some of these $1,900 levels or even back into the 2000s?
Yep, that's exactly what I think. I mean, the key will be don't fight the Fed. And we have to kind of wait for the Fed to align with us in a sense, because the Fed knows and they've studied yield curve control. They admit it. Go back and look at the minutes from, I think it was the June FOMC last year, where they received a couple of different presentations on the effectiveness of yield curve control in terms of inflating away the debt. That's what the Fed did in the late 40s and early 50s when debt to GDP reached these levels after World War II. That's what they'll do again in the months and years ahead. For now, though, we haven't found that level of nominal interest rates, the level on the 10-year treasury where they feel that that's as far as they want to go. I mean, it was 3%. Back in November of 2018, I don't think they'll let it go to 3% now and have that sharply sloped of a yield curve, because they're keeping the, you know, all the short rates so low and said they're going to keep them there through 2023. But there is a level there. Maybe it's 1.25, maybe it's 1.5, where the Fed's going to say that's as far as we want it to go. And we will be an aggressive buyer of treasuries, you know, anywhere above that level and not let it go past. Then as inflation continues to grow, then you're locking in, you know, kind of institutionalizing negative real interest rates for a period of time to come. And that will drive gold in all its forms, purchases in all its forms. But that's not where we are right now. That's what we're waiting for. And so I don't know, Corey, I'm trying to stay focused on the big picture. That's what I keep telling everybody at my site. The metaphor we've used countless times already this year is that, you know, the bull market is just like the bull at a rodeo. It's going to do everything it can to throw you off, but the only way you win is if you ride all the way to the bell. And this year is going to take a lot of patience and persistence to make it to the bell, but this is what I'm planning to do.
All right. Well, Craig, we'll wrap it up there. Not much more to say about this continued correction. We have talked about it now 4 months, and the move today is a bit painful, but I think a key still has been that gold has not broken that recent low, the drop down to, well, right around 1770, I believe, just above there. So let's see if we can hold there. That was actually the low at the tail end of November. So, hey, Craig, thanks for your time, buddy. I will chat with you again next week.
Always a pleasure, Corey.